Sports. 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 Sports news. Sports stories. And if there's time, even sports opinions. It's the Sports Dump with Will Canale.
All right, there we go. We got a little bit of that in the pre-show recording. You're just used to it. Your name being mispronounced is
yes.
What that was about. We'll get into that in a second. This is the Sports Dump Podcast with Ephraim Salam and myself, Joe Canale. Canale and Salam. Salam, Canale. It sounds like a deli. We're working on that. This is our draft preview. Just a couple hours before the draft, we're doing it, so it's sure to get, you know, a lot of listens. It's a big day. I enjoy the draft. Now, do you watch? You have to kind of watch the draft for maybe, you know, if somebody needs you to comment on it or whatever.
I watch it for work purposes.
Work purposes.
Yeah.
Right. But as you said last week, you didn't even watch the draft when you were getting drafted.
Oh, no. I
watched
it up
to a point.
Until I had been watching it for like.
Right.
72 hours. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go.
And did you have any inklings on where you were going to go? Like, what was.
I thought I was going to go in the third round to the Jets. I spent a lot of time with the Jets scout down in San Diego. And he even called me the day of the draft and said, hey, we're going to draft you. I think it was the first or second pick in the third round. Are you ready? Absolutely.
Who'd they take?
Jason Fabini.
The tight end?
No, it was a tackle.
Tackle?
Yeah, it was
Did
a
he
tackle.
Play a little bit for
He
them?
Played. He played. But, I mean, I was under the assumption that I was going in the third round.
Now, I think the Jets had a guy on the New York Sack Exchange named Abdul Salam. I think he was like, it was Gastineau, Klecko, Marty Lyons, and I believe the fourth. Now, this is me going back to, you know,
right.
Knowing the New York Sack Exchange is only someone who watched the Jets teams that did shit in the 80s.
The great Gastineau, Mark Gastineau, man.
But they didn't, I don't know that they deserved a name considering that team never even made it to the
it
AFC
awful.
Championship game. Richard Todd. Their games with Miami were great, though. But they didn't take in the third, so then they took a tackle, so.
Yeah. So it's probably out of him and me and my guy lost the argument in the
right.
war room.
Right. Yep.
There you have it.
Or maybe they thought like if Fabini wouldn't be there, they probably tell four guys that. Obviously, they got no problem telling people that. It reminds me a little bit of if you go on an audition, and this is mostly commercial auditions, but if you book it or before you book it, you're put on a veil, which means you have to act like you're booked and hold the time and everything. You don't have to, supposedly, because they're not giving you any money, but they're saying to you, "This you are one of who knows how many people."
Right.
And I think, like, either I'm always the second choice, or they're bringing up, like, six people and putting them on hold, and they don't care. And then they don't tell the people often.
Of course not.
And you're like, and I've had things where you're supposed to fly to Europe on Friday or fly to, like, South Africa on Friday. So you got to hold this time. You got to wait. And then, you know.
Nothing.
Nothing. And obviously you're not going on but they still.
This Saturday comes.
They've asked
like,
you to prepare all this stuff. You know, get rid of other obligations you may have during that time. Maybe give up money that's going on then. They don't give a shit at all. I'm fine doing it if you want to pay me like $75 a day even or $100
right.
bucks a day because to them it doesn't matter at all. Now, in your situation, I was talking to Molly. We did the Sports Widow yesterday in lieu of this, which is usually where I try to see how much sports she knows, and she knows more than usual. But I was talking about it, and we were kind of realizing it's like, okay, on this day, you figure out what city you have to go move to for 4 years.
Yes.
You know, and it could be Cleveland.
Could be Cleveland. Two people very early.
Yes.
Today,
yes.
We'll find out that they're now
living in
residents
Cleveland.
Of Cleveland.
Yeah, and they probably weren't hoping for that.
And the bad part is they're going to get there, and they probably would think, okay, well, at least we can go to the Cavs games, and LeBron is there, but he's leaving Cleveland.
Yes, they're going to get a couple games this season. They're going to get one or two games where they show up at the arena,
right.
The draft picks. Yeah!
Yeah!
And then it's all going to go
It may
downhill.
Just be one game.
Yeah, right. It could be. I mean, That LeBron, we could just go right to that
Let's
for a second.
Let's jump right into it.
That was, you know, one of those Hall of Fame video moments. That's going to be there. I had the volume down. So, and this happens a lot where I kind of have the volume down and I look and I see celebrating and I'm like, oh, shit. And then I have to close my eyes and rewind it and then turn it on. That was pretty amazing. It was a goaltend, obviously. But what are you going to do at that point? Those calls, to call that a goaltend at that point on
LeBron.
I mean,
it is a goaltending, though. I mean, if it hits the backboard or the glass, whatever you want to call it first.
Unquestionably, not even debatably. But when you have LeBron, king of the follow block shot of the tracking a guy down.
That's what he does.
That's his thing. In a big moment like that, are you gonna obviously you swallow the whistle there. Maybe in Indiana that call goes the other way, but I have Indiana in this all sports fantasy league I'm in, so I'm a little bit interested in them. I also have Oklahoma City.
Whoa.
We had Denver, but they didn't make the playoffs. That was impressive too. That's Russ Westbrook just having one iota less of anger, I think, than he had the game before, where he just totally blew up, where he's like, I'm going to shut down Ricky Rubio.
Right.
Great. Rubio never gets triple doubles.
He's the fourth best player on
your team. Yes, and he's just going to take you out of the game then.
Why would you even worry about Ricky Rubio?
Right. Because it's because Russ goes a little too far. But he was enough in control this game to be at optimum anger.
It was, yeah, it wasn't over.
It was angry.
It was angry.
But not over angry.
It was a different level of pissivity.
Yes.
Like he was pissed off.
Right.
But he wasn't recklessly pissed off.
And it's kind of like, you know, again, that's kind of a legacy game, too. If they lose this series, Paul George is gone.
Yes.
Carmelo is going to – he has a $24 million option that he's signing.
He wasn't even on the court.
No, but he's going to be on the team next year just because he's signing that huge contract.
Why wouldn't he?
Of course. No, he ain't getting $24 million anywhere else.
Yeah, no, don't
for 11 points a game. On like 44%. I mean, he's just falling off the cliff.
That magical run that they were making in the third and fourth quarter, he wasn't even on the court.
No. He's a liability in that kind of
thing. Good Lord.
Yeah. He's okay if it's a half-court game, a regular season NBA game where, you know, the first half, nobody gives a shit anyway.
Right.
So he's getting his, you know, 16 first-half points. So he'll get his four second-half points.
He doesn't play any defense.
Nope. Ah. Still be in the Hall of Fame, but it's like, it's just a, you know, when basketball has guys like that, not as often in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, but I think of guys like Derek Coleman, who was a great player. Rashid Wallace, we talked a little bit about. You know, guys who probably could have been Hall of Fame. With Wallace, it's a little of that emotional volatility.
Yep.
With Derek Coleman, a little bit of probably smoking too much dope and just getting a lot of money. And
Derek Coleman was, I don't know if you know this, he was the player who got the biggest contract. He was the
at
one
the time,
who started
yeah.
that huge money. He got, I remember he got $40 million, and everybody was like, what?
Yeah, guaranteed. I mean, and again, from your perspective, that's got to be crazy because you're – and you're in the most dangerous of all the sports with the least security. And I understand from the team's point of view, but I can also see, you know, well, they had some of those contracts that they got rid of now, like those 7-year, like John Konkak contracts where it's like, you know, you're going to be eating 5 years of this thing and this guy can just do anything.
Right.
Like Luol Deng on the Knicks, you got Joakim Noah. You have all these contracts of guys, and they probably, you know, could fit in somewhere, but they're not $17 million a year players.
Yeah, the Juwan Howard $111 million deal.
Yes.
For the Washington Bullets at the time.
Oh, the Bullets.
That
oh
was
my God.
Like, that was one of the reasons they had to strike.
Yeah.
Because it was getting out of hand.
Right. When they were going to that far.
Kevin Garnett, which is well deserved, got $120 million. And then anybody over 6'10
right.
who started was getting $100 million.
That's
contracts.
What happens. Hall of Famers are still underpaid at those contract levels, but what the trickle down in those regards, it really affects kind of that upper middle class player who's mm-hmm. not quite a Hall of Famer, and again may be on the way down or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, and then down, it's kind of like economics in general. They do all right, you know, because everything's going good for the league based on the Hall of Famers. So then the second tier of players also does well. But then as it goes down and down and down to the D-leaguers, they're making $25,000 a year. Or in baseball, minor leaguers who aren't even making a living.
Sack lunch and a gas
yes,
card.
Yes, living in a basement of somebody's, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, the beginning of the end of this new money in the NBA, of course, the ESPN TV deal.
Right.
You know, inflated salaries. But when Mike Conley 2 years ago got $153 yes. million dollars, and he was the highest paid player
right.
ever in,
right.
in the, everybody was, he had yeah. never made an All-Star game.
Yeah, the contracts shouldn't go up so much in a way.
Mike
or in football.
Conley. Got $153 million.
Wasn't Flacco
million.
The highest paid player for
yes.
a moment? And then Stafford.
But you got to remember, Joe Flacco not only won the Super
he
Bowl.
He did win a Super Bowl.
But his first 5 years in the league, he took his team to the postseason.
So at that time, he was, yes.
He was worth the money.
Right.
That's what you want your quarterback to do, right?
Yeah,
not only
true.
Win the Super Bowl, but get
consistently.
Continue.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
He was a winner at that point.
Yep.
And Ozzie Newsome and the team and everything had a lot to do with that, too. But that's what people, I think, forget. GMs are kind of underpaid in the NFL a little bit as compared to coaches.
Yeah, they are. They
you
are
know,
because they're the –
the good ones at least.
Yeah. They're, but you know what? They have a lot of incentives.
I guess,
so
yeah.
So they have a lot
yeah.
of incentives in their contracts.
And they also and get they, those guaranteed contracts.
Right.
So if they get fired, they're picking up – like the coach guaranteed contracts. And in college, it's crazy too. Like Mike Riley took a $50,000 a year job to coach at Oregon State because he's still making $3 million from Nebraska.
Right.
So he can go back to Corvallis where he lives, take what for a coach of his the former NFL head coach, that's minimum wage taking $50,000.
Oh, absolutely. That's, yeah. That's
and,
below
you know,
market.
Nebraska's
yeah.
paying the rest of that salary. And what are they going to do at this point? But yeah, it like, goddamn, a 3 or 4 year getting. I'm just always amazed at guys who've got like 2 years of pay coming.
And they're at home
yes.
hanging out
or doing TV, which doesn't I think, you know, you only lose that money if you take another coaching job.
Right.
So I think if you take another, you know,
I'm going to be an analyst.
Right.
Now, for a
yeah.
couple
years. I'm going to give speeches, you know, for a fee. Ah, got to get into that. Got to get into that speech right. thing. They make a lot of money on
yes,
those.
Yes, they do.
All right, well, let's do a little bit of draft thing. I'll just go through kind of the first. We're not going to get through the whole draft, but it gets, you know, there's a bunch of quarterbacks. There's a few interesting teams. Well, why don't we go through, like, the top 10-ish picks or something
okay.
like that? All right. And you got some notes there? You
no.
got, you got
no,
any
go
ideas?
Ahead. Don't worry about it.
The first pick of the draft. Now, I will be putting up an article with my complete mock first round after maybe you listen to this or maybe as you're listening to this or before. Either way, the first pick of the draft is the Cleveland Browns, and they also have the fourth pick. So in my mind, the decision is if you want two guys, obviously they want a quarterback and probably Barkley or Chubb, the lineman or the running back.
Right.
So do you take the quarterback that you want first, or do you take the chance that that quarterback's going to slip, like if it's Baker Mayfield, and then you get both guys you want? How do you get both guys you want? Because I don't know that they'll get Barkley if they take their quarterback first.
So it really, really depends on who they have rated at number one on their board.
Got it.
So out of the quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, if their guy is, like, say, Sam Darnold's their
yeah.
guy, well, he probably won't be there at
no.
four. Right?
Yeah.
So you would take him.
You got to take him.
Because he's going to come off the board.
Yeah.
Even if the Giants were willing to, you know, if the Giants wanted someone else, if Sam Darnold
the Jets would probably
there,
take him.
the Jets or the Giants or pretty much take them, or somebody will move up to get them.
Yeah, if they because they'll be available and then they could be traded.
For the most part, that's the consensus of he's the most ready to go right now. His pro day in the rain showed that he can deal with adversity.
He had good throws there.
Most guys would die and wouldn't throw in that situation. He actually wanted it, so I think that increased his draft value, his draft stock.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking like you like Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen,
you think they might be there.
They will be there.
Yeah.
Especially after what you just came out about Josh Allen.
Right.
So
yes.
If I'm thinking, okay, Josh Allen is my number one guy on the board, then I'm definitely taking Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Because I know that the Giants, they'll take Darnold, and the Jets will take some. They're not going to take Josh Allen.
No.
They may not take Baker Mayfield. So out of those
two,
you roll the dice. And if you're okay with Rosen.
Yeah.
Right?
They're all kind of in the same range, so it's like.
No one knows who's going to be what.
Right. Whereas Barkley seems the most sure thing of anybody.
Right.
And is definitively standing out from the rest of the running backs.
He is, but I will say this is a rich running back draft.
I like Geis.
So if you want to go to me, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, number one, I go with the quarterback.
Okay.
I don't leave it up to fate or we'll see. Because in 5 years, like we always do with the Cleveland Browns, well, it took 1 year last year when they passed on Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
And the year prior when they passed on Carson Wentz.
Yep.
So for me, I'm going to take the quarterback that I want. If that quarterback is Sam Darnold, I'm taking Sam Darnold. He's now a Cleveland Brown. At number four, I'm taking Chubb if Saquon Barkley isn't there. Then with my picks early in the second round, I'm going to take a running back.
Because they're there.
Plenty of running backs.
You might get Geis or one of the Georgia guys.
People keep forgetting about Rashad Penny, who actually led the NCAA San Diego State.
There you go. He did. And 2 years in a row, didn't he?
2 years in a row. Well, no.
The year before.
Donald Pumphrey. Right? But both had 2,000-yard seasons. The only school in NCAA history to have two different 2,000-yard rushers back-to-back.
Wow.
But the fact of the matter is I just use his name because it's so much talent. It's really deep at running back, and you don't need to take a running back in the first four picks.
When you can improve another position much more.
Great, and they signed Carlos Hyde this offseason. So you can get great value with the running back in the second, third round, even in the fourth and fifth round. So I would pick the players that I think – now, this is a little – you know, this may be a reach, but I take the quarterback. I take if it's Sam Darnold, I take him at one,
and then
I take the kid, the offensive lineman, the guard from
Notre Dame
at four,
over Chubb defensive end because they are
Chubb.
Okay.
That's what, because if I'm going to, you got to remember Joe Thomas just retired.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And this guy can be, if not on the end, but he's also supposed to be the most sure thing.
Well, that he is the guy with the highest grade.
Right.
Like, he can't bust.
Right.
No matter what. So if you get a guy like they did when they drafted Joe Thomas in the first round.
He starts dating a Kardashian.
Oh,
that'll take him down.
Yeah. But other than that.
No one is Kardashian-proof.
You know, no one is. But other than that, if you get a guy who can bring in and he can be your all-pro guard for the next 12 years, then you pick the right guy.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So you get your quarterback, you get your offensive lineman, and then you can find value.
And they had a defensive lineman number one last year,
right.
So you hope that he still develops. You make a lot of sense. Now,
that's what I would do.
That's what you would do.
Yeah, if I was in the Browns.
Well,
but I will say this. The Browns will mess it up because they always mess it up.
Here's what I'm forecasting. Okay, I'm predicting the number one pick of the draft, Baker Mayfield of the New York Jets. So let me explain.
Okay.
What I think is going to happen is that the Browns will come right down to the wire. They won't know what they're going to do. Indecisive. At some point, Jimmy Haslam, their owner, is going to bust into the war room having just seen the movie Draft Day. Which, if you remember, is about the Cleveland Browns doing the most ridiculous trades in the world and somehow ending up with, like, all the best players.
Right.
Like, they trade the first pick in the draft or something just ridiculous, and then they get it back for less than they traded. So, Jimmy Haslam comes in. Maybe it's, you know, maybe he's just hyped up on the movie or something else. Who knows? Tears the wires out of the wall from the phones as he's yelling at his staff. So, meanwhile, in Dallas, the clock runs out on them, putting the Giants on the board. So, you'd think the Giants would make their pick. But the Mara family is so conservative that they will not pick first if they are supposed to pick second. So, out of respect for the Shield, they wait for Cleveland to make their pick. Unfortunately, communications from Cleveland have just dropped out completely because Jimmy Haslam's gone fucking apeshit in their war room. This is a prediction. I'm not saying this will happen. I'm just saying this is likely. Well, this is part of my article, but I'm not going to get it out on time probably. Anyway, the Browns miss their first two picks. The Giants wait for that to happen. The Jets jump in, take Baker Mayfield. Then the Giants take Saquon Barkley. Then it's the Browns' picks. They got the third and fourth now because they got lapped by the New York teams. Well, at this point, communications have come back, but it's still been a little confusing. They end up taking Josh Allen and Sam Darnold back-to-back, 3-4.
Can't take two quarterbacks.
They're going to.
Can't.
It's a mistake.
You can't.
They didn't mean to do it. This is just what I'm predicting. After that, the Broncos take Quentin Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
They then trade the offensive lineman, Quentin Nelson, for a Stanford quarterback from the Colts, Andrew Luck. Redoing the John Elway trade all over again, where John Elway pulls a trade, gets Andrew Luck. Who was traded for John Elway? Do you know? Trivia.
No.
Chris Hinton.
Oh, wow.
A interior lineman who made like eight Pro Bowls from a smart Midwestern school.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like this Quentin Nelson guy to me. We're doing that trade all over again.
Okay, so the Colts are getting rid of Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Who are they replacing him with?
In my scenario,
yes.
They also trade their pick to move up. So they don't have any quarterback.
Yeah, that's not feasible.
The negotiations took place in a Denver dispensary between John Elway and Jim Irsay. That is how this trade got made.
On that kush, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And don't forget, Jim Irsay is constantly carrying around $9,000 worth of prescription drugs in a plastic bag.
Right, right.
Didn't he get caught with something
like
that?
Yeah, he did.
In a plastic bag.
Sprawled out in the back. He's like, what are you doing?
Put in a suitcase, man. In a plastic bag. All right, and the last exciting thing that happens, and this is it. With the 10th pick of the draft, the Raiders trade that pick to the Patriots for Tom Brady because Gruden wants to make up for the tuck rule game. The Patriots take Lamar Jackson with the 10th pick of the draft. That's
so Tom Brady's playing in Oakland.
In Oakland.
Year. Oh, my God. Because, get out of here.
Because it's Belichick's final insult to Brady to send him across town from his childhood favorite team.
But Tom Kraft would have to okay that, and he would never do that.
Bob Kraft is on vacation with Meek Mill.
No.
And he is not aware of what's going on.
Robert's not going for that. No shot.
Meek Mill's out now. They can party.
Free Meek. He's out.
And Robert Kraft was like one of his big – you're saying this is implausible.
Yes. And you had me going. I was like, oh, okay. But then you just
– I went too far.
Yeah, it's just crazy. That's foolish.
We'll see. You said the Browns are going to screw it up.
First of all, the Browns would never let the first pick go. All right, they would never not put in
somebody.
It's not
this Josh
happen.
Allen thing could have thrown him for a loop.
Let's talk about Josh.
So I didn't read any of the specific. Yeah, this is a good transition because this can be our daily dose of a lesson for everyone. A, don't write dumb shit. B, erase that dumb shit.
Dummy.
Yeah, but in a way, you know, this is. It's kind of like the they talk about the Darwin Awards.
Mm-hmm.
This guy becomes a nominee because when you've got this kind of money on the line, that's just dumb. That's just
Yeah, and people were saying.
So what like, can you enlighten me on exactly what some of it said?
Yeah.
Now,
so,
this is a kid in North Dakota, so I'm guessing there's a racist bent to some of it.
Punches Beanie Boy faggot in the throat.
Okay.
That's
so,
one of them.
Okay.
Haha, skanky asshole.
Okay.
No bitches. Mm-hmm. I love penis. why are you so white? If it ain't white, it ain't right.
That, I think that we could stop right there. I feel like that is that's a good stop. Unless it gets, you know.
I hate LeBron for all you Cleveland fans out there.
Mm.
Let's see.
He did have some. I hate LeBron changes in context when you read it after that other tweet.
Right.
Basically, everything you read from now on changes in context after. If it ain't white, it ain't right. He's going to have a hard time in the NFL.
I like touching younger kids, Peters. Yeah. Hayden has a big nut sack.
What? Okay. This went way. I mean, you thought I went off the rails with my draft prediction. These tweets, holy shit. He's going to fall. He's going.
He has some with the N-word in there as well.
He did.
Yes.
In what context, again, if I can say? Like this blank.
I'm going to show you blank. Right? Like any context. Like any context.
The one thing I'm thinking is dumb high school kid quoting a rap song.
No, that wasn't it.
Okay. That's my one, like, not, you shouldn't do it, but you're a dumb high school kid. But any other context, Jesus. the Browns are going to take him number one. What if the Browns take him? That would be how they screw it up.
Yeah.
That is the big screw up.
That's exactly right.
Is to take him number one, lose out on you know, whoever else they might have had at quarterback, and also lose out on their first choice at whatever other position.
But he also went on First Take and he apologized. I'm a young kid. You know, I was 15 years old.
Well,
yada, 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 yada. The problem I have with that is that doesn't excuse the behavior. I was a 15-year-old kid and I did some dumb things, right? But being racist, right? Like, there's a difference between you being young and you got caught cheating on a test, yep, or stealing a pack of gum or something like that. But when you, because it comes from somewhere.
And when I was young and did stupid shit, again, nothing even approaching this.
No.
But I knew it was wrong almost immediately because I was, you know, raised with a morality and everything. I knew I had done wrong.
Yes.
So I knew at the time or shortly thereafter. So if that were the case, I would have erased those tweets back then.
Right.
This is a case of I'm sorry because I got caught, which it often is. Almost always is.
When you're that young and you have these type of thoughts, then the bigger question is, okay, well, there's some type of disconnect within the household or, you know, your circle that you're in, because if you feel that way, does that feeling just go away? Right. So if you felt that way at 15, at 20, what has changed?
Well,
to where
here is what has changed. Perhaps at 15, living in Wyoming, you've met no black people.
Not a lot of black people around. Not a lot of black.
You go to the University of Wyoming and you're going to meet a few of the black people. They're going to be on your football team. And many of them are not going to be from Wyoming. So hopefully at that point, once they're, because racism is born of fear and ignorance, right? All these bigotries come out of fear and ignorance. So the fear part, you know, stokes all the stuff. And then the ignorance, if he doesn't know any better, if he's not exposed to any other idea, then that's just all that's around him. Now, I'm not saying all of Wyoming is like that, but I'm guessing there was no one there to push any other point of view.
Right.
So hopefully, the hope is, you get to college and you start realizing, oh, this guy's from Chicago or whatever. And, you know, and you get exposed to different ideas. But you can answer this better than I. I would guess there are guys who, you know, they were a shit kicker in high school and they're shit kickers now.
Yeah, they are.
And so
bunch of assholes in high school, they grow up to be a bunch of assholes.
Right. Now, have you observed any people over the course of their careers kind of changing their views based on, you know, because I think I mentioned this earlier once, like the way that Yao Ming talks is like a black man.
Yeah.
Because that's what that's the culture he was around learning English.
Right.
So does a kid from Wyoming who's kind of bigoted out of whatever reasons, some ignorant, some probably upbringing and everything and culture, does that change once he's exposed to
the fact that he doesn't realize or can't comprehend at that age? Now, he's not a baby.
No.
He's 15, 16 years old.
Absolutely. He's old enough to tweet, right?
You should know that tweets are forever.
Yeah.
No matter what your aspirations are in life.
Well, the last 3 years, you should have caught on to that.
Right? Like, you should be like, even if I do feel this way, I probably shouldn't tweet this out to the entire world.
And you know what? I'm going to – this is on him. And it's good that it's exposed. But if I'm his agent, that's a dereliction of duty to me. If I'm the agent of a guy who's maybe going to be the number one pick in the draft, I'm telling him to delete his Twitter account.
Well, they were deleted. But as we know, anything on the internet
is on forever.
Is on forever.
Oh. I didn't know he had deleted them.
And some people are saying that his camp leaked them on purpose so he wouldn't get drafted to Cleveland.
Oh, jeez.
That's how deep this thing goes.
Art of war right there.
Right.
That's pretty Machiavellian. That's pretty sneaky if they do.
Seems a bit far-fetched to me.
It does, because I have a hard, and this is maybe a prejudice or a bias on my part, but I have a hard time thinking someone who has ideas like that is also going to be clever enough to come up with that plan.
Right.
That's maybe my bias.
Well, maybe that's why they're saying his agent or whoever's in charge of him now,
right,
his handler, was like, hey, it'd be a good idea. I know you're going to take some backlash. You'll still be drafted in the first round, still be drafted in the top 10.
But maybe
10,
it'll be, you know, Vikings instead of
we'll
whatever.
We'd like to get you into a better situation than going to be in the face of the franchise of
the shitty Browns. For I have to say,
a lot of LeBron suck tweets, you know what I mean? That can't sit well with Cleveland, you know?
Yeah.
So, who knows, man?
LeBron's, yeah,
like,
wow.
It should affect his draft status, but it won't. He'll still be picked high. But that's just...
Well, it's, again...
Well, think about it like this. If Saquon Barkley came out and they said they had found some tweets where he was like, I hate white people. White people are the devil. So
if it ain't
so
black,
forth.
It ain't right.
Right, right.
Just that.
If it ain't black, it's whack.
Yeah, right.
You know, what effect would that have on him?
Yeah.
It'd have a tremendous effect on him.
Well, we're seeing it, you know, like, I was kind of joking about how conservative the Giants are, but, like, the Giants are so conservative that they wouldn't put Colin Kaepernick on the team just because of his hair.
Right.
You know, beyond what the other, what else he
Afro,
got to.
Afro, ooh.
Right, right. Yes. Oh, hey, oh, hey.
I don't know about
We like our hair parted to the side and, you know, not curly, if you know what I mean. We're seeing exactly what happens. Reed hasn't been signed yet.
No.
You know, and again.
But that's just that, you know, and none of what they did came from a place of hate.
No.
That's the difference, right?
Yes.
None of what they did came from a place of hate.
Yes.
And you see this kid who's spewing bigotry and racism and hatred even as a young man, and he'll still be drafted.
Well, Incognito suffered no real consequences from that thing.
No, he didn't.
You know,
I know Richie.
Sure.
he mostly identified with African Americans.
I don't believe that he's race. I think he's probably homophobic.
Yeah, I mean, that may be the case, but I could tell you he's not racist.
No,
I know him. I've hung out with him. I know, like, he was the one. He's the white guy who will pull up with the big chain and the car with the rim. Like, that's he embraced hip-hop culture and urban culture.
Sure.
So, in some circles, he got a pass.
Yes. But I'm not, you know, I'm as I think about it, it's not even that. That part I kind of understand in the same way Yao Ming. Again, he's probably, that's the culture he had access to people mm-hmm. like that. I don't know exactly know where he's from. I think maybe Northern California or something. But, you know, playing on these sports teams, he obviously bonded with that culture. But some of the other elements of him, the bullying, the
well, you know what? The whole bullying thing, that wasn't an isolated incident just to Richie Incognito.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't – so I was always telling people, hey, look, you guys keep using this term bullying and all of that. Look, first of all, we're all grown men.
Right.
All right? We're very highly paid grown men
who
are at the top of the food chain in terms of being professional athletes in that sport.
Yeah.
So locker rooms and meeting rooms are tough.
Yeah.
Especially in football, because it's a tough game.
Yeah.
Now, is it right? Probably not.
Yeah.
I got hazed. I got harassed.
But that's the culture.
That was the culture.
Doesn't make it right again, but.
Yeah, but like, if you can't take a guy coming to you and talking about you.
Yeah.
Then.
And is that what it came down to? Because I think I associate with comedians, and some of the text chains that I'm on are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's awful stuff that you would not want other people to see.
Right.
But it's in the context of the protection of your friendship and your relationship.
Exactly.
You can say these things that, out of context, are horrible, awful things.
Yeah, that's the end of the world. But when you put them in context, if I'm in a locker room with you, or we're in a meeting room, and you're a rookie, and you just came in, and I'm me, and I've been in the league 8-9 years, and I'm like, yo, you know, go get my shoes from the locker room. He's like, I'm not going to get your shoes. And I'm like, yo, look, bitch, you're going to go get my shoes, or you're going to pay for it.
Right.
Well, what you going to do to me? What you going to do to me? So then when you come to your locker the next morning, everything in your locker has been removed, and it's sitting at the bottom of the whirlpool.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Is that bullying? Did I
or
bully?
Or bonding.
Right?
Right.
Or is it that you don't want to do your, like, every Saturday, rookies had to bring donuts and drinks and all that. And when we were flying in the afternoon, if we had a road game, they had to go get chicken or food or whatever and bring it to the plane. Now, if you didn't do that because you thought you were, I'm not
above
doing
it.
That.
Right.
No matter when you were drafted, you could have been the first pick in the draft or the last pick in the draft. You're still a rookie.
Yeah.
And you had responsibilities. You got to carry pads in after practice. And when you decide that you don't want to do that, then you open yourself up to the retribution of that.
And in football, those things, the argument could be made that those are all really important things to the culture, the hierarchy, knowing your place.
Absolutely.
So much is regimented in that military style. And so it's a way of, in the way that you would, again, and I'll just make a parallel to, like, any other cultural thing, you know, getting into the tribe, they have rituals that you have to go through. Most of my information about how animals do it is from Disney movies, but, you know, the lions fighting to get into the pack and stuff like that. So
the pride. Yes, the lion, the pride.
And then afterwards, it turns out that Jonathan Martin maybe has had some problems beyond
that, too.
So
he didn't have the temperament to be in that in situation. Yes. And it started in high school.
Yep.
And just because you're big and strong and fast or whatever doesn't mean you will make a good professional athlete. Because it's just not the physical attributes that make a professional athlete.
But he probably was pushed.
Of course he was pushed. Of course he was pushed. And him not having the ability to deal with, because once you stand up for yourself and once you're not a rookie anymore, it goes away. It's all done.
Right.
Right? So it's all done. So you get a year of doing things that you would normally do just to keep things in perspective for you.
Yes.
That, like, no one is bigger than, no matter how much money you came in with.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning had to do rookie stuff.
Yeah.
He had to carry pads and buy donuts and food and –
And that's how you endear yourself to the team, by kind of accepting your role there, and then you get accepted in after serving your time or whatever you want to call it.
Because they know you can take
it.
And if you can't take it,
now you're part of the pack, right?
Then you get singled out like Jonathan Martin did.
Yeah. And then that just perpetuates and gets worse and worse and worse.
It's funny how after that situation, Richie Incognito played 5 more years.
Made a couple Pro Bowls.
Jonathan Martin played 1.5, 2,
and then
was
released,
out of the league.
Yeah. Well, and on an offensive line, too. And it's true. There was not a lot of backing to his side from anywhere.
No.
Yeah.
Except for the mom groups and, the groups. Oh, my God, that's horrible. How could you say that to somebody?
Right.
Well, listen, ladies, I've heard worse.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And again, it's everything is the context and the world that – and no moms can understand.
No.
If my mom saw the text, even just that I send my brother, she would disown us both.
Yeah, and it's not to say that it's right. I'm not sitting here saying it's right.
Right. No. You're just you're saying that.
I'm saying he wasn't an isolated incident. Like, it wasn't they just picked on him to pick on him.
Yes.
It was other rookies in that offensive line room that got it just like he got it.
Yes. He just reacted differently.
Yeah, it's not a, oh, we're going to pick on that guy.
It's not an excuse. It's an explanation what you're giving. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and I think the point you make about what they did afterwards kind of reinforces that, too, that Incognito was not a pariah in the league.
No, he was
not. And from what you seem to say and what the evidence shows, he was a valuable, wanted thing. And Jonathan Martin maybe has some other. And again, those insecurities and everything, put on top of it the potential CTE type stuff and how that maybe manipulates already strange pathology you may have. It may heighten those kind of idiosyncrasies and make you even more, whatever it is, nervous, insecure, violent. Those things may get pushed by all the collision stuff, making it worse.
You know, it's tough.
Yeah.
You
always know, end on CT. It's tough because on top of the regular stuff that everyone has, I think when you talk about, and especially football players, you talk about any kind of mental situation out of the norm, and you have to wonder how much of it is human chemistry and how much of it is enhanced or even caused by some of those other things.
Right.
Including all the medications and the drugs.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a really tough situation. It's a powder keg. It's all of these things. None of them, which are good.
Right.
Are combined. And it's tough for some people to handle, as well as if you're not performing well on the field, then that just makes everything, it just exasperates. I mean, it's just, it's nothing worse than, especially being an offensive or defensive lineman and not being thought of as tough.
Right.
It doesn't work.
No, you're just out of
it.
It
does not work.
No.
It cannot be that. If we're on the team and we're watching film and you're resembling anything to do with soft and not aggressive,
right,
you will not make it in the NFL.
And it only
on
gets
the
greeted,
offensive
probably,
or defensive line.
You probably, if you show that you're passive,
you
only get met with more aggression.
Absolutely.
Which accentuates your passivity until there's some explosion.
Because the thought process is, we're going to make him tough.
Right.
Right?
But
coaches,
this was
what coaches would do.
Yeah.
We're going to make you tough.
Right.
Like, even in Pop Warner, all the way from Pop Warner to junior high to high school to college.
Yeah.
We're going to make you tough. So we're going to call you every name in the book. We're going to treat you like crap and see if you can rise above it. And if you can't, you can't play.
And I think any NFL coaching will be the last coaching to phase that out. You know, Bobby Knight was as aggressive as any football coach.
Right, yeah.
You see less and less basketball coaches like that.
Right.
Now. You still do see football coaches like that.
Well, yeah,
you know,
you
maybe
grab
not,
the helmet and, you know, dog cuss you.
Yep.
I mean, I've been called every name in the book.
Right.
But it didn't make me, you know, wither. And it was like, look, I want to do this. Because once you correct it or once you do something satisfactory, then you get praise.
Right.
So it's not like even if you do something good.
It's in your own hands how you deal with it.
Right. Even if you go out and you change everything around, you do something good, they're still not piling it on.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you did it. You made it. You know what I mean? You made it through. You deserve to be here. And I just didn't think that was a good fit for Jonathan Martin.
Nice. Well, we got a little Jonathan Martin stuff. We always get some good offensive line talk at some point. The draft, I think – both of us gave some excellent analysis
that
draft.
You did not.
Well,
that was terrible.
Excellent in different ways.
I was good. That was
you
awful.
Were excellent in that yours had some basis in reality. Sure. Mine was excellent if you consider, like,
draft day, your guideline.
If my scenario happened, it would be the greatest draft ever. You have to admit,
that
happened, ending – and then they just ended after that 10th pick.
It was just
like
over.
The Patriots get Lamar Jackson, and then they just walk off again. If Belichick did that, I don't know if I told this story before, but if you have a chance to see Elton John in concert, take that chance because it's all greatest hits. He's not playing anything you never heard before. And I saw him, and after every song at Staples Center, this is not an exaggeration, after every song he finished, he's at the piano. Song ends, lights go. Spotlight on him. He stands up, walks from one end of the stage to the other, facing the audience, hands in the air, just generating great applause. One end of the stage, comes back to the piano, sits down, another hit starts, and the crowd goes wild. 2 hours of that. And that's what Belichick would do if he got Lamar Jackson. He'd stand up, walk out, and it would all end. There'd be no song afterwards. All right, maybe my scenario's off. You know. We'll see. Read the article. You can see Ephraim on CNN in just a little while, but by the time this is up, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
But maybe some other time. You got to go soon, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not 12:30, 2:30.
No, it's 2:30.
Okay, good. Why don't you plug your movie?
Traffic in theaters everywhere. Check it out. It's a thrill ride, man. It's a hell of a thriller. Edge of your seat type thriller.
Nice. Yeah. And that's out in theaters right now. And the Sports Dump is out on the internet right now, and we'll catch you next week. Have a good one.